I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Puck and Rate Chicago podcast. This time, Megan and I are back to our normal states, our normal homes, which is very sad. Last week's was super fun, especially considering everything that had happened. That was a really long podcast that we put out last week, and hey, I was actually thinking about that. I was like, this is really long, and I don't know how many people are going to make it to the end, but I also just listened to a 2-hour, 25-minute Spit and Chiclets episode, so
there's
people that do it, including myself.
Sometimes I'm in the mood for, like, a really long podcast. Like, sometimes I just, like, if I'm going to do something,
I deep clean
it's going to take me a while, like, yeah, like cleaning or, like, sometimes even if I'm working on a painting or something, it's nice to have. Mm-hmm. Or, like, even, like, if I'm writing or something, it's nice to have something, like, in the background that I don't have to, like, skip a song or change to a different podcast or whatever. It's nice having, like, a long one that I know I'm not going to run out of.
Yes, yes. And that's what I love when the Steve Dangle podcast does super long ones, because it's, you know, when it's a super long one that Steve is going to be upset about something. So there's bound to be a really good rant. The reason why the Spit and Chicklets one was so long is because they had Tyson Nash on, who is now with a color analyst with the Arizona Coyotes. He's also the Between the Benches guy, but he's so funny. He's one of the funniest dudes. He was telling a ton of stories. He told stories about Eric Lindros and playing with guys like Brendan Shanahan and Al MacInnis and St. Louis. So it was really cool to, like, hear his stories and all that stuff. So if you haven't listened, and then at the very end, there's like 30 seconds left. He goes, oh, by the way, the Sidney Crosby episode is dropping next week on his birthday, 8/7. And then Grinnelli within the last 5 seconds goes, a big announcement coming up next week. So just keep an eye out. And then the episode ends. It's like, are you kidding?
Oh.
Are you serious right now? I can't wait that long. I know you're super excited
for that Sidney Crosby one. I'm decidedly less excited, but I'll probably listen to it anyways.
Ha-ha.
Because I'm effect. A good hockey noodle.
I'm a good hockey noodle. Well, speaking of hockey, this is what we do here on this podcast. Let's jump right into it.
Speaking of hockey.
We got a couple things to cover here under free agency, even though it is August and it is the middle of just dead season in the NHL. There's only going to be a couple signings from here on out. Really, the focus is going to be on all the RFAs that have been unsigned still, which we will get to at the end of this segment here. But let's start with a couple re-signings, a couple buyouts here. The Tampa Bay Lightning, the Tampa Bay Lightning re-sign goaltender Andre Vasilevsky to an 8-year, $9.5 million deal, which is just $500,000 shy of what Sergei Bobrovsky is going to be making with the Florida Panthers. But it's very deserving. Andre last year had 39 wins, 10 losses, and 4 ties. He had a .240 goals against average. Oh my God. And a .925 save percentage.
Struggling today?
I don't know what it is. I've been working with kids all day. He had a .925 save percentage last year, despite how the playoffs went for him and his team. I don't think he was the player that he could be and is.
He was the problem.
No, it was a combination of a ton of things. But yeah, so they re-signed him to an 8-year deal, which, I mean, see how that goes. He's been in the league for what? He's been playing with them for 5 years. So it's about time for him to get re-signed here, but he is the backbone of that team ever since Ben Bishop left. I feel like he really is the guy that's up and coming. So congratulations to him. I feel like now, I forget who was saying it. I think it was on Spit and Chicklets, but they were saying, like, is Andrei Vasilevskiy worth $9.5 million? And I think it was Whitney that was like, well, that's the bar now, right? Like, that's set the market. The Sergei Bobrovsky deal set the market. And so guys that are not supposed to be up there are getting money that's up there. I was seeing Vasilevskiy in like an 8 or a 9 range.
Yeah, me too.
You know? And so, I mean, he's a good goalie and he's the backbone of that team. So it's good for them. But also, buddy, you got to sign Braden Point.
I was going to say, are they not one of the teams in cap hell right now? I'm pretty sure they are.
But they're also one of the teams that other teams, they're like the Chicago Blackhawks, and that other teams are like, let's help the Tampa Bay Lightning in any way we can by trading and taking on the full contract of Ryan Callahan. Love that for them. Love that for them. Moving on from there, the New York Rangers, which caused a little bit of confusion at first because I didn't see it on Cat Friendly and I didn't see it from the official New York Rangers Twitter page, but they did choose to buy out defenseman Kevin Shattenkirk. He had 5 years left, he has 3 years left on his deal. His deal ran from 2017 to 2021. He makes $6.65 million average annual value for a total value of $26.6 million. He has no signing bonus to be paid this upcoming season, just $6.6 million in salary, but it drops to a $2 million signing bonus and a $4 million salary next year. And this past season, he played in 73 games, had 2 goals, 26 assists for 28 points. So Kevin Shattenkirk has kind of bounced around a little bit. He was in St. Louis for a really long stretch of time. Then he went over to the Capitals at the deadline and then signed on July 1st in 2017 with the New York Rangers to his long-term five-year deal. Yeah. And now he's bought out 2 years into that deal.
I think who was it that said it? I don't even know if I should say it, but it was really funny, so I feel like I have to. I think it was Jesse from the Steve Dangle podcast. I think it was Jesse. He tweeted, Shat Daddy, and I
lost
my mind. It was so funny.
He's like, come to Toronto, Shat Daddy, and then quoted it and goes, Shat Daddy. Could not believe what it was.
I saw that, and I was rolling. I don't think I've laughed that hard at something hockey related in a very long, just kidding, I laughed that hard at the John Scott thing, but it was just so stupid, and I don't know, it really sealed the deal for me. I was like, this is great.
This is great.
Off season is fun sometimes,
so we'll see where Kevin Shattenkirk goes. I mean, in all honesty, he hasn't fallen off the wagon completely. He's still a good defenseman. I wouldn't put him on the top pair. Top four guy, but he's a veteran. He knows what he's doing back there.
Well, I think people forget, too, that he's been injured a lot. What did he play? He didn't play a lot this past season, I don't think.
He had 73 games, so he missed 9 games.
And I think he missed games the year prior as well. So, I don't know. I feel like it's tricky because when guys get injured, they don't always come back the same.
Mm-hmm,
it sounds weird saying that, but not everybody's Patrick Kane. Not everybody can come back from injuries looking $1 million, or I guess $10 million.
Funny.
Ten and a half,
actually.
Ten and a half. Got to give him that extra half.
That half million makes
a
difference.
All the difference. But yeah, so I don't know. I feel bad for the guy. I really do. But I think somebody will pick him up.
A fresh opportunity. Right. I think, and the thing is, too, we can jump into this really quick. Jake Gardner is still waiting, is still UFA, which has really surprised me, considering that, he had those back issues last year, and that was kind of a red flag to a lot of teams. And I'm pretty sure they tried to trade him at the deadline, didn't work. And he was out for a considerable amount of time with that back injury, but he came out at the end of the season and said, no, my back's totally fine. I did all my rehab, blah, blah, blah. It's back to new, which, like, it's still a little bit iffy for, a lot of teams to try and take on that contract and that kind of that body almost, but he's still a top four defenseman, which is
that's
just
the thing. It's like
it's really surprised me that like Ottawa hasn't picked him up, or a team like LA that needs a solid decor, because the Leafs wanted to bring him back, but they don't have the cap space to bring him back.
Exactly.
I mean, they might now that they got Horton and Clarkson on LTIR. Did we talk about that? We didn't talk about last week, did we? No, last week was the convention one.
No, because we just talked about the convention last week.
Okay, so if any of you are confused about the Toronto Maple Leafs acquiring cap space, essentially, by trading away Garrett Sparks to the Vegas Golden Knights and getting back David Clarkson's deal, who has not played in however long, couple years, he's never going to be playing again. They're just holding his contract until it's over, kind of thing, like a Marian Hossa, Pavel Datsyuk kind of thing. But Steve Dangle made a video. It's like, I'm pretty sure it's like 25, 30 minutes long, but it's worth the watch if you're very confused, because essentially by putting these guys on LTIR, it allows the Leafs to go over the cap, like over the 81.2 cap. So they have about 10.5, I think, in cap space instead of just the 8.1. So it's a very lengthy video, but it explains everything with tweets from Cap Friendly, who explain it themselves, who know it better than anybody. And he got it also, this is a side note, but it's about Cap Friendly. He also said, like, what would we do if we didn't have Cap Friendly? Like, what if Cap Friendly was, like, hired by an NHL team and we didn't have Cap Friendly anymore? Because I don't know if you remember, I think it was the Carolina Hurricanes or the New Jersey Devils. It was one of those teams, but they did, like, a behind-the-scenes on the draft kind of thing, like the Blackhawks do, and they accidentally showed the computer screens. They ended up deleting the tweet after, but in the picture that they posted for, like, a preview for it, they had all the computers of all the scouts open, and every single scout was using Cap Friendly. Like, what would happen? Like, NHL teams rely on this website. What would happen if we didn't have Cap Friendly? But they break it down and explain everything, so that gives them a little more wiggle room with Marner. But as I said earlier, we'll get into the RFAs later. But how did we get to the Leafs? Okay.
I feel like our conversations always end up at the Leafs, the Blackhawks,
the Oilers.
The Oilers. Like, those three teams, for some reason. I mean, the Blackhawks make sense. And,
right,
like, the Leafs, to an extent, make sense. How we end up on the Oilers 95% of the time, I don't know. And we're talking about them now. We ended up here.
Here we are. Well, let's move on to the other team in Alberta, the Calgary Flames. They have also bought out Michael Stone. So he also signed a longer-term deal, four-year contract, signed it in 2017, and runs through this upcoming season. So he has one year left on the deal. And he's at a $3.5 million average annual value for a total value of $10.5 million. He has no signing bonuses during the duration of any seasons of this contract. He just has a 3.5 flat salary. Last year, he only played in 14 games, had 0 goals and 5 assists for just 5 points, so it kind of makes sense for them to move on. And I don't think it was working out for them as much as they'd like to. It looks like, I mean, you don't get scratched for like 3/4 of the season. I think there was an injury involved there somewhere, and I just think a change of scenery will be good for them. Just kind of like the James Neal thing, too, where I think James Neal and Milan Lucic both needed just a change of scenery. So,
yep.
And then we have two arbitration signings that have come through this past week, both from the Buffalo Sabres. First, Jake McCabe signs a two-year, $2.85 million average annual value deal. Last season, he played in 59 games, had 4 goals, 10 assists for 14 points. And then Linus Ullmark signs a one-year, $1.325 million deal. Last year, he started 37 games, had a 15-14-5 win-loss tie record, 3.11 goals against average, and a .905 save percentage. So he's a solid backup. I mean, backups, I'm pretty sure, like, average is around, like, .910, .915, somewhere in that range. So he's not super far off. And I think he was really good behind, who was their starting goaltender this year? This is how much I don't know about Buffalo. We're going to look it up right now.
What is his name? I can see him.
Because I was going to say Robin Lehner, but no, that he got traded to the Islanders.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. I'm like, that's not right. Oh, my God. Who was it?
Oh, Carter Hutton, right?
Was it Hutton? I guess it was.
Let's
I guess
see.
That's...
I'm looking on cat. I'm looking on what you call it right now. Hold on. Goalie. Oh, no. Lena. Yeah, it was Carter Hutton. Well, I mean, he's not on there. He's not on the roster. The Linus Olmark is the only one that's on the roster as of right now. I'm looking back at the previous season.
Honestly, the Sabres are an Carter enigma
Hutton.
To me.
It was Carter Hutton. I'm pretty sure he's UFA. That's why he's not listed on the Hockey Reference roster anymore. Sense. But yes, he was a solid backup, so makes sense for him. And it's just shy over $1 million, so no problem with that there. And then let's wrap up this section. It's really quick. But let's wrap up this section with some of the RFAs that still need to be signed. So I put the big...
Some of them. There are so many.
Well, I put a list of the more notable names on our doc here. So you got Mitch Marner, Brock Besser, Mikko Rantanen, Braden Point, Matthew Tkachuk, Patrick Laine, Kyle Connor, Zach Werenski, Charlie McAvoy, Travis Konecny, who a lot of people forget about, also Anthony Bevilier, mm-hmm. Kevin Fiala, Brendan Perlini on the Blackhawks, and then Brandon Carlo. I didn't want to list all of them. You can go on Cat Friendly and on the homepage, they have list of RFAs and you can search and just see all of the players. Which this year's, usually it's a UFA class that's really big. Like there's been a couple years where a lot of guys are up at the same time. And that's how it is in baseball as well. A lot of the guys will come up at the same time and it's just a crazy offseason in terms of unrestricted free agents. But this offseason seems to be the offseason of RFAs and this is like the tier one, tier two guys coming off of their entry level contracts. So they're looking for that, those big bucks. And a lot of people have been saying that the Marner talks are kind of not happening right now. It's looking more and more like it's not looking like he'll pull a Nylander and not play until December, but it's looking more and more like he's not going to be involved in training camp, which is tough. And just sign him. And it's, and the whole thing is like, the whole thing is, okay, is, because what everyone's been saying, Mitch wants to be here as in Toronto. Mitch wants to be in Toronto. If he signs this deal, this is what they're saying. If he signs this deal, he'll be one of the most beloved Toronto Maple Leafs in history. Okay? People already love him and everyone just loves Mitch Marner. He's just a little puppy dog running around. He's like, I love hockey. I'm a child. That's good. It's good. It's good things. But
it's great. 10 out of 10.
We all know that Darren Ferris is his agent. Darren Ferris has kind of had, you know, a history of being like, well, if we don't get a contract, we'll take our talent to the KHL. That he did with a bunch of, he did that with Sean Monahan. He's done that with a bunch of other clients of his. But he plays hardball. He's a hardballer for sure. And is he getting advice or hearing things from him? People think that his father's involved, which I don't think it's right to involve Paul Marner in this. Paul Marner is probably a nice guy. I don't think it's fair to include him. I think everyone's doing it too because everyone claimed that Michael Nylander was involved in the William Nylander situation, which he was like, I had nothing to do with it. It was William and his agent. Like, I'm there giving him advice. Like, I went through contract negotiations when I played, but it's not like I'm telling him what to do. He's an adult. He can do what he wants.
Exactly.
But that one too, but Brock Besser's is some one of them. I think we've mentioned it previously on the podcast, but that's one that's kind of iffy because you do have limited cap space and you also have the signed Pedersen in the next 2 years.
I was going to say that the Canucks are also kind of in cap hell and they're not really helping themselves. Like, everybody's like, oh, but they're like really looking good this season. Like this offseason, like they've gotten a lot of new guys and stuff. And I'm like, that's great.
Really, what about the guys that you have that you need to sign?
But yeah, like you're not signing any of your dudes. So have fun with that, Canucks. Super fun. You're living your best life.
Mikko Rantanen, I am very interested to see how that one works out, considering he is as good as in the same range as Nathan MacKinnon. I'd say Nathan MacKinnon definitely has a step up on him. He plays at a different level. But Mikko Rantanen is right there, top six guy. And if you look at Nathan MacKinnon's deal, it is a steal of a deal. Like, it is
deal is really good.
Just beautiful. So I don't know if Mikko Rantanen and his camp are talking with Joe Sakic and the Avalanche camp about that kind of, you know, being a lower number. I mean, I'm pretty sure Nathan MacKinnon makes like five, like a little over five. Like,
but Duncan Keith. The Avalanche also have like a crap ton of space left, don't they?
They do. They do have a lot of cap space. Like, so they're the ones that I'm not really concerned about because they have the money to sign him and Rantanen seems like he doesn't want to go anywhere else. So it's just a matter of getting it done on both sides. But
yeah,
I'm just very interested to see how that number is going to come out. But the other one that I'm really, really just looking forward to seeing what happens is Patrick Laine, because he is the most just hills and valleys kind of hockey player, especially this last season. Like, he was non-existent for half the season. He goes to Finland and that the press conference that what's his name? Oh, it's the coach. What's his name?
Paul Maurice.
Yes, Paul Maurice. It was, I could see his face in my head, those big glasses. When the Finnish reporter asked him who's going to be the daddy of Finland, Patrick Laine was like, I am the daddy of Finland, but then he comes back here and he doesn't do anything. So it's like, it's kind of a battle of what do we have on our hands here? Like, do we have someone that, you know, we drafted him second overall in 2016, elite goal scorer, Ovechkin-like. He's not very good on defense, but he is just a goal scorer in the purest form that you could have. But he didn't really show up last year. How do you do that? Like, I wouldn't want to give him a long-term deal. I'd throw him a bridge and be like, okay, prove yourself.
I was going to say a bridge deal. I could see him getting a bridge deal.
Prove yourself, and then we can sign you to a long-term contract. But if you don't prove yourself during the bridge, then sorry, I'm going to walk you to free agency and you're going to be free to go. You know?
Yeah.
So that's something to think about.
I want the Blackhawks to figure out what they're doing with Perlini so bad. Like, just sign him. Like...
I've heard they're close. There is just a matter of like figuring out contract, I think it's like it's not a wide margin that they're between right now. I think he's asking for more.
The funny thing for me was everybody commenting on how funny it was that he was at the convention without a contract.
So Brendan Perlini there. He was just like, hey, man, I know I'm going to be a part of this team, so I'm just going to show up to the convention. But also, like, Stan Bowman and them wouldn't have him if they weren't confident that they were going to get him signed to another deal.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It's a matter of time. And we still have quite a bit of time until training camp. I think it's right around 40 days or something like that, maybe a little bit under 40 days. But training camp festival starts the 15th. And that's the end of training camp. So training camp is the first and second week of September, and then preseason starts on the 16th. So...
yeah.
We have a little bit of time, about a month or so, a little over a month, so we'll see how that goes. But that does it for the free agency talk here. We got a couple trades, though, to announce. I always wanted to say that.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
So the biggest one that came off the presses this weekend over the past week was the New Jersey Devils are having an offseason. How many times have I said it on the podcast this offseason that Ray Shiro is just out here? He acquires Nikita Gusev from the Vegas Golden Knights in exchange for a third-round pick in 2020 and a second-round pick in 2021. And they ended up re-signing him to another two-year deal. I will get the numbers on that exactly. But this is a big get for them because, and I don't understand why Vegas wanted to let him go, but this guy is the leading scorer in the KHL, and he hasn't played a game on North American ice, so that is kind of a little bit of a, we'll see, but From the looks of it, there's guys that are like, who am I thinking of? Panarin. Panarin was great in mm-hmm. the KHL, and then he came over here, and he's just as great. So they signed him to two-year, $4.5 million deal each year. So, and he has a modified no-trade clause in the second year. So he is, I want to see how old he is. He was born in 1992, he's 27. So he's not a young guy. I mean, I think Panarin, when he came over here, was what, 24, 25? Right around in that range, and because it was the whole conversation of he's not a rookie because he won the Calder. It's like, oh, he's not a rookie, blah blah blah. He's been playing forever. Well, no, this is his first season in the NHL. So, but Gusev just looks sick. Like I've watched some highlights from him from the KHL, and he just has hands, and he can move and skate like nobody else. So that's pretty exciting. But dude, the New Jersey Devils are just giving Taylor Hall things on a platter saying, please re-sign with us, bud. Like, look at all these things we've got for you. We got Jack Hughes first overall this year. We acquired PK Subban. We got Nikita Gusev. We have
literally everybody.
We have a strong prospect pool that's coming up here. So we'll see how that goes. And then the other trade that we did mention earlier, the Ottawa Senators acquire Ryan Callahan and a fifth round pick in 2020 from the Tampa Bay Lightning in exchange for backup goaltender Mike Condon and a sixth round pick in 2020. So Ryan Callahan is, if I don't know if any of you remember, but earlier this season, it came out that he has a degenerative back disease and he has been advised not to play professional hockey anymore. So the plan, I believe, is to put him on long-term injury reserve and just see how this year goes. And then if they buy him out, they buy him out, or they just pay him the duration of his contract. But he has a $5.8 million cap hit, which helps Tampa's cap hell a little bit, because that was something that was on their books, and they get it completely off the books. So, and they only had to give up a fifth round pick next year to do it. So I think that's a pretty good move for Tampa. As for Ottawa, what are you doing? Like, it's like this offseason for them,
They're just acquiring people. They're like acquiring people for the sake of acquiring people. And I'm like,
are you getting better, or are you just making moves? Like, that's the kind of, like, are you making moves, like, to make moves, or are you making moves because you think they're going to improve your team and bolster that roster? I don't think that's the case. Like,
it feels like they're just making moves to straight up just make moves.
You
do you, I guess, but have fun sitting at the bottom of the league again.
Then again, it's better than, like, LA, who has done nothing.
Nothing.
You know?
I know.
So that's interesting. But those are two trades that happened this week. So let's move on here to some Blackhawks talk. We only have one thing to speak on here, and that is Chris Kunitz has announced his retirement from the NHL after 15 long, wonderful seasons. He played in 1,022 games, had 268 goals, 351 assists, 619 points. He is a one-time All-Star, a four-time Stanley Cup champion. He was undrafted, a signed player out of Ferris State University, and he played 9 years in Pittsburgh. That's where he won two of his cups, I believe. He won two of his cups in Pittsburgh, one of his cups in Anaheim, where he spent 3 years. He spent 3 years in Anaheim as the Anaheim Ducks, 2 years as the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, so total 5 years in Anaheim.
That's how far back it goes.
He played 1 year with the Atlanta Thrashers, 1 year with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and 1 year with the Chicago Blackhawks. Oh, he won three cups in Pittsburgh. Excuse me. He was on the 2009 team, 16-17, and then he was on the 07 team for the Anaheim Ducks. But I was telling this to Megan the other day. I was saying how he was the only active player with four Stanley Cups, and so now that title goes down to three. And I was like, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves and Nicholas Jalmerson and Seabrook and Keith and all of them are a part of that label now, the players most active Stanley Cups, I guess you would say that as. But he will not be out of hockey for very long. He will be joining the Blackhawks as a player development advisor, both at the NHL level with the Blackhawks and the AHL level with the Rockford IceHogs. He will be doing a lot of traveling, but his wife is from here and is from the surrounding suburbs area, so this is home for her, and they've decided to stay here and make it a home for their family. They have three beautiful children, and I'm just really excited. I tweeted the morning of when he announced his retirement. It was last Tuesday. I was there for his 1,000th game. It was Valentine's Day this past season, and I've never seen a 1,000th game celebration before, and to see it for Chris Kunitz, who's an extreme veteran in this league. This guy was, he's the epitome of a professional from everything that I've heard, that he is such a mentor and a veteran in the locker room. And that's why he's perfect for this role, because he really knows, like, hey man, I've been around the block a couple times, and this is how you talk to the media, and this is how you handle being on the road for this long away from, like, your family, if you're a young guy for the first time, and that kind of stuff. And it's kind of, to a lesser degree and a less specific degree than what Brian Campbell is doing with Boqvist, and that he's more broad terms, but he's going to kind of be like a mentor that's not in the locker room. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool. But congratulations to Chris Kunitz. That's just, and we met him at the convention last year, which was
we
super
did.
Cool.
He was super duper nice. We met him when we met Cam Ward as well. So He was really, really nice, and I'm very happy that he's staying with the Blackhawks. I think I know a lot of people, including myself, were kind of frustrated with him being signed last summer just because Stan Bowman has a thing with signing really old guys, and that's fine, but that's not really what they needed last year, and whatever, I'm not going to super get into it, but at the end of the day, I think it was nice having him on the team, and it'll be nice to keep him in the organization, and like, seriously, though, like, what a freaking career. 15 years is a long time. That's like, can you
as an undrafted player.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Can you imagine being in, like, one job for 15 years?
Like, I mean, I've been doing my life for 21 years, and I was, what, 6 years old? So starting from 6 years old until now, that's how long he played in the NHL. To think like, about it, I don't even remember half that time.
That's like such a long time to be a part of some, like a part of the same thing. Like I'm trying to think, like the
longest. That's all of elementary school, plus middle school, plus junior high, plus high school. Or a little bit of high school, 1 year of high school.
Like.
Right? Yeah.
So much. And like, I'm trying to think too, like I think. I don't know where I was going with that thought. I'm so sorry.
No, that's all of high school. Plus some college.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure that in my head right now. Like literally first through eight years. Yeah. Then you've got high school, which is 4 more years, which is 12. And then you got 3 years. So from the time I'm in first grade until a junior in college. That's how long Chris Kunitz played in the NHL.
The longest time I've been in one job was when I worked retail in high school and some college. And that was like 4.5, almost 5 years. Yeah. And that felt like a really long time. Like
I'm 3.5 years in at Lifetime with the kiddos. And I was like, wow, we have some new hires that we met that have come in this summer. And they're like, oh yeah, I'm a sophomore in high school. And I was like, I am a grizzled veteran in terms of everyone that we've just hired. I was like, I am graduating college in 4 months, guys. This is just... I'm part of the older group now, which I'm like, oh, God. But
Oh, no.
But we do have a couple things to talk about in terms of NHL news, which I'm so excited to dive into this. But first, we got a little housekeeping to touch on. So Dennis Potvin, who was a illustrious NHL player, retires from broadcasting after 21 seasons as the Panthers color analyst from 1993 to 2009 and then from 2015 to 2019. So we obviously don't live in Sunrise or the surrounding areas of Florida and South Florida, but Dennis Potvin's a legend, so just wanted to give my congratulations, also because there's like no other news going out. Sorry, Dennis. This next one is the biggest one that I want to talk about because it's just woo-hoo, daddy.
It's to call it...
Very Oilers like, of them.
Yeah, I think I was going to go with it's very wild.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Because Paul
gonna go with the obvious.
Paul Fenton has been fired as the Minnesota Wild general manager after just 14 months. That's a year and 2 months for those of you who can't count. The assistant GM, Tom Kervers, will serve in the interim position until they hire a new GM. And here's the kicker. Peter Chiarelli, our old dear friend, and Ron Hextall are both in consideration for this position, which... Every time an insider tweets like, oh, so-and-so should be considered, it's always the guys that are on the market. And it's like, well, yeah, they're unemployed. That's why they're being considered. I don't understand I don't understand why this is a big deal. Like, it would be a big deal if it was a current GM, say Dale Tallon, since we were just on the Florida Panthers. It's like, oh, Dale Tallon's in consideration. That would stir the pot a little bit because he currently serves as the general manager of the Florida Panthers, not some guy who got fired and is now sitting at home jobless that has experience as a general manager. It's like, no, duh. No, like, I get it, though. It's the offseason. You have nothing else to report. There's literally nothing going on. But, like, we get it, man. We're there. But let's just talk about that because the Minnesota Wild, I mean, the past year, Paul Fenton came into a not-so-great situation in terms of how the team was. And in this past season wasn't a season that was very up to par with what they were looking to do, which it's also a very generic thing. It's like, okay, we didn't make the playoffs.
To be fair, even though they've made the playoffs the past couple of years, like, oh God, when is the last time they made the playoffs? 2 years ago? Last 2 years ago? 2 years ago.
Yes.
Either way, it doesn't matter.
2017-18.
They have been bumped from the first round every single time for, like, I think, like, 3 or 4 years straight. Like, that ain't it, Chief. That ain't it.
No. And so, yes, they lost in the first round for three consecutive seasons starting in 15-16. So they had a streak where they made the playoffs, 6 years in a row. So 2012-13, they lost in the quarterfinals to us. And then the next two seasons, they lost in the second round. And then the next three seasons, they lost in the first round. And they haven't made it in the past two seasons.
Like, I mean, you're right. Like, he was coming into an already not entirely great situation. Like, it just...
Well, their roster, I think, is, like, their roster in terms of age, I'm pretty sure behind LA, who's the oldest team in the league, I'm pretty sure Minnesota is up there. And the thing is, they also don't draft very well, which you can acquire great players by trade, but also I feel like it helps to have some players in your farm system that can help you out there a little bit. But, you know, they have young players. They have Kevin Fiala, Jordan Greenway, which are good for them. They've got Ryan Hartman this offseason. They acquired Ryan Donato for Charlie Coyle last season. They have Jason Zucker.
They got a noted lizard, Matt Zuccarello.
Matt Zuccarello, yes. They have the older guys like Ryan Suter, Eric Staal, Zach Parise, Mikko Koivu, which Mikko Koivu, I'm pretty sure, was a draft pick of them, of theirs. Yes, first round, sixth overall in 2001. So that's, and he's been there for a really long time.
Oh my God, that's 18 years ago.
Yes, yes. So that's a long time ago, but the whole Nino Ryder for Victor Rask thing kind of didn't work out, and they were going to send Jason Zucker to Calgary at the deadline, and that fell through, which I don't understand why you'd want to trade him. He's amazing.
Well, I was gonna say, I don't understand any of the moves he made I like Victor Rask as much as the next person. He's fine, whatever. But when they said that they were trading him for Nino Niederreiter, I was like, you're kidding. So it was funny because actually my first reaction to that trade was, wow, I'm going to have to root for a guy that I've been rooting against for the past like 3 or 4 years. But I know he's good. Like, he bothered me because he's good.
Right.
And definitely feels good having him on a team that I like. But when that trade came out, I was like, oh man, who did the Hurricanes have to give up? And then it was Victor Rask. And I'm like, you're telling me that they traded for a guy who had been out for the majority of the season because he sliced his hand during the off season with a kitchen
cooking.
Knife. Cooking. Like,
I just didn't understand the concept of that trade. And, like, going back to Jason Zucker, that guy is very underrated and one of the most underrated wingers in the league. And that guy can score goals, and he's very dynamic. He's a top six player for sure, and that's a gem that you have on that team. Why would you want to trade him away? He's very, very good in that top six. I mean, I get it. You might want someone on your top line, considering your top line is old. But he's a great player. I don't understand why you would want to make that move there. But they do have a lot of old players. And they were also talking about trading Jared Spurgeon, who is incredible. He is one of the most underrated defensemen in the league. And they have all this young talent, and they want to get younger. And then they are like, well, we're going to move on from them. So I think that, and Leopold, that's his name. Craig Leopold is the owner of the Minnesota Wild. And he came out and said, yeah, it became apparently clear that there is a total disconnect between the goals of Paul Fenton and the goals of the organization, which I was like, that's a big yikes.
I was going to say, so that one article, I can't think of who wrote it on the Athletic.
Russo? Michael Russo? He covers
the
Wild.
It was Michael Russo.
He's fantastic, by the way. During this whole situation, like, that guy is just...
That article where he goes in depth as to what went wrong, I was shook. I was sitting there reading it at work, and I was like, oh my God, how is this organization even like floating right now?
Right.
It should be sunk with some of the stuff that this guy did. And like, I mean, it goes from threatening people's jobs if they leak information about like players' injuries or like who they're going to draft or trade or whatever to like other personnel issues, like actual player issues, mm-hmm. to like the crappy trades, to the weird draft, like it. And his son is in the organization still, if I'm remembering that correctly. Like,
that's what they said on Spit and Chicklets. That's Whitney was like,
such a weird situation.
Whitney was saying on Spit and Chicklets, like, he's like, I'm not saying this is the reason why Paul Fenton got fired, but your son is in the organization in the scouting department and he's not a scout. And I don't know if it's a situation where it's like, okay, son, I'm going to get you a job. Or if it's he's actually qualified for that position,
he thought that he was going to do a good job, like
using his power that way, which is like a no-no, I guess. But it's a no-no. But
that whole article is just insane to me, and I kept reading it, and it felt like I was reading a novel. Like it didn't even feel like it was like real life. Like, and that's kind of me being exaggerating. Like that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but like it's just so weird because I guess we saw it, but like hearing about it in
expected him to get fired.
Yeah. Cause he'd only been there for like what, 14 months. Like mm-hmm. that's not even that long of a time. That's nothing.
That's nothing. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh man. The whole thing was just wild. And I keep saying, but I was just, I was shocked. I think I texted it to you with like the eyes emoji because like what?
Well, the other thing too is that it's so close to training camp.
Yeah.
That it's like, okay, well, if you don't have a GM in place, like.
That's the other thing, is that the timing of it was weird. I thought maybe like typically like you give somebody like another year.
Oh, sorry. I just went to go. Hold on, I just choked on air. Hold on.
Oh my god, I do that all the time. But like, it's so weird.
Like, if you're gonna make this move, why wouldn't you make it at the beginning of the summer so that you can start your process for hiring earlier and try and find someone by the time they're in and they're comfortable before training camp starts? Now you're on a crunch time to find someone, and when you're on a crunch time and you're under pressure, you might not make the best decision for your organization. AKA, you're gonna probably hire Peter Chiarelli, which, if you look at his track record in Edmonton, I really don't. I mean, also, I think it's unfair. Let me rewind for a second. I think it's unfair to give Chiarelli that kind of beef, because also, like, to understand the moves that he was making and the way that he did things, you have to look at the Oilers organization as a whole and who owns it and their front office.
But he also made stupid decisions in Boston. He traded away Tyler Seguin for literally no reason other than the fact that Tyler Seguin partied sometimes.
Yeah, but his...
Like, literally the only reason.
Like, I can see the Wild taking a chance on him. I can see that happening.
Oh, I can too. And honestly, I want to see it happen so I can see that lovely train wreck. I really want to...
We're bound to have three train wrecks this season. Edmonton, the Wild, and Ottawa again.
And maybe the Kings.
And like, the Kings again. Who knows?
I love train wrecks in sports. As long as they're not my team. Like,
right.
I don't know why I like, I think it's just like it's Ottawa last season was
it's
just,
entertaining.
Like last year, Ottawa was just like half the time I was like, there's no way that this is real. Like that stupid Uber thing. I was like, there's no way this is real.
Oh, it's like, real.
It's just absolutely insane. And it's that kind of stuff where I'm like, this is great. This is fantastic content.
It's a break from the normal content and news and stuff you get every season, which I love watching replays of games every night and highlight real goals and stuff, but I also love hearing about players shitting on other players and teammates and coaches in their organization in an Uber in like Phoenix, Arizona. Like, I love that for them. So
good. That video, dude. That video is just...
We always forget. I know the saying is saying like, never forget, blah, blah, blah. Always forget that Matthew Shane was an Ottawa Senator for like that hot minute that he was.
It is funny because we were watching, we were watching the NHL, like the weird NHL awards or whatever.
The Weirdy Awards.
Yeah. And
an hour long video.
It's a great video though. And there was a clip of Matthew Shane playing with the Senators. And I think I turned to you and I was like, wait, what?
Oh, it's the one of him hitting it out of midair.
Yeah. It's just one of those things, like, I just don't remember him playing there.
We block it from our memories because it was a terrible time.
It was just weird. Like,
he didn't
it's going to be
that.
Weird seeing him with Nashville, too, to be honest. But, I also don't think he's going to help Nashville as much as they think he's going to, but it's fine.
That's a hot take. Wow.
Hot take.
Wow. Coming out of left field there.
You know, it's always a good day to just drizzle a little
sriracha.
A little salt on the wounds of Nashville after their mildly unsuccessful playoff run. It was one round.
Man,
I'm feeling it today. I'm going to eat my words. I can just feel it. But yeah, this whole Wild thing is just like, I guess I just didn't know how bad it was. Like,
and then this all comes out and you're like, oh.
And then it comes out and you're like, oh, okay. I understand now. Like, I get why they decided to let him go now. I still think they should have done it like right after the season ended, but I think, I don't know. When is it a good time?
Maybe they were seeing if he's going to do anything in the off season, which he just signed Matt Zuccarello, got Ryan Hartman.
Yeah, but he called Matt Zuccarello a lizard.
That's very true. But for those of you who, before I forget to mention it, for those of you who do have subscriptions to The Athletic, we'll link in the description box below. I'll link the article. If you're not, you're going to hit a paywall. Sorry. But please support The Athletic and all their work. They're great. And I love The Athletic and I always will bounce them.
I always hype them up if I can. Their content is just so much better than like, because it's not just
elite,
like really quick plug for The Athletic. Because it's not just like game replays or recaps or like your typical like sports article. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of people's stories and a lot of like really in-depth things like this.
They write about like the craziest topics that you would have never thought of before.
Yeah.
Like players that aren't superstars, in-depth things like that. I love it. I follow it for MLB, too, and MLB is
me
great.
Too. One of my favorite ones recently was Sarah Sivian, the beat reporter for the Hurricanes, wrote a whole article on Rod Brind'Amour's sayings and, like, quotes from the season. Mm-hmm. And I think the article is called, like, something about, like, Rod Brind'Amisms or something.
Rod Brind'Amisms.
Oh, man, they're so good. They're really good, and the article is fantastic. There's also one on there are even better quotes in the Bruce Cassidy one.
Yeah,
Bruce Cassidy is hilarious.
Low key funny for the
Bruins. Oh my god, why did that take me so long to get there?
I was letting you work it out.
Those articles are just so good. Like Mark Lazarus wrote the one on smelling salts, which was so funny. He does a lot of the like really fun people. Like,
he did the workout that Patrick Kane and Connor Carrigan, JT Compher do. And he's like, I am an old man and I am dying.
That one's really good. I love like even like the Robin Lehner one or the even like the Ray Emery one comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
There are just so many good ones and it goes into topics that you just don't.
Down Goes Brown is, if
oh
you want
God,
a good
those
laugh.
Are amazing.
His
They're
are
so
funny.
Funny.
The latest, the yeah, one that
Sean
I recently
Maxfield
read,
is amazing.
The one that I recently read that I loved by him was the types of the stages of grief after signing like a free agent or signing like an older
really
free agent. And then there's one that's like the roles of every player on your team.
Yeah,
it's like the
yeah,
superstar,
yeah.
the this, the that.
That
He's
one's
funny.
Really good. I also liked, everybody's been doing those like Team Manitoba or Team Wisconsin or Team Chicago where they pick like a certain area and they find players that are from that area. Like there's like a Team New York one. I think there's a Team Ontario one, which sounds the most deadly if I remember correctly. It's just so funny. And they're like, you just can't get those articles anywhere else. So that's our little plug
Subscribe.
For The Athletic.
I'm pretty sure Please. It's still 40% off right now.
I was going to say, like,
they always have sales.
Promos. Like, I waited until the start of the season last year, and I think it went from, it was 50% off, so it went from $60 to, like, $30, which $60 for the whole year is also not that bad.
Right.
Just putting
oh,
that
yes.
out there.
For
that
12
is $5
months?
A month.
Yes.
Like, that is.
They just hit 500,000 subscribers, I'm pretty sure, too.
Yeah.
Which and is awesome because they started as literally a startup in like a little shoebox. If you want to hear more in depth about it as well, the Steve Dangle podcast had James Myrtle, who's one of the founding people of The Athletic, on. And they spend the first hour and then some of the podcast talking about how it started and where it's going and everything like that. And he doesn't give away a whole lot because obviously everything is behind a paywall. So if you want to read all of the work, you need to subscribe and get behind the paywall. But now they're adding podcasts and they're expanding to the UK and covering Premier League soccer, which is awesome.
There are a lot of little mini documentaries as well that I know I watched one on Christian Yelich a couple weeks ago, baseball player. I haven't seen any for hockey yet, but I'm sure they're. I've only seen baseball ones, and I think maybe like a couple of NBA ones. But those are really cool too, because they're like 10, 15 minute, like little mini, I don't know, like kind of something you'd see on like ESPN, like a little like kind of look into something or someone that maybe you don't hear a whole lot from. I think, I can't remember what the Christian Yelich one was about, but which is terrible because I literally watched it like less than a week ago. But yeah, like it just, I love The Athletic, and it's funny because I was hesitant last summer, but I'm so glad I have it because I feel like there's stats on there that I would never have thought of looking at. Like, I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Dom Lecision.
Lecision.
Genius. That guy's a genius.
He is so cool. And like those stats, like I'm not a huge stats person because numbers don't always click with me that much, but
numbers are hard.
Numbers are so hard. But he makes it like semi understandable, and at least for somebody who's not well versed in stats and stuff. But it's, I don't know, it's just so great. And if you are not subscribed to The Athletic, I think you should just bite the bullet and do it. I would honestly, if you're going to do it, wait until the start of the season though, because I guarantee you they'll do that 50% off again.
Oh yes, for sure.
It was like literally, I think I did it in like either like the end of September or like the beginning of October or something.
Right. So that does it for the NHL part.
Ew.
Let's move on to power plays. Megan doesn't have a power play because who was surprised? Nobody, not me, not a single soul. But I have a great power play that I would love to just wax poetic about for 2 minutes.
I think you should wax poetic.
Thank you. Let me know when you're ready, and I am ready. I was born for this.
I saw it on here, and I was like, wow, this is, honest to God, the perfect power play, and kind of wish I thought about it.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's fantastic. All right, you are ready when I'm ready whenever you're ready. Oh, my God. I can't speak today if you couldn't figure that one out.
It's okay.
Can't do it.
You and
me
both.
Words are not happening.
You and me both, sister. All right, I'm ready. Let's talk about Austin Matthews's Hot Girl Summer 2019. So if any of you follow Austin Matthews on Instagram, you will know that Austin is living his best life. He actually posted a recap of his family R&R time on his Instagram today. It includes a couple videos of him playing tennis as well as playing volleyball, which I was very proud of as a volleyball athlete of 10 plus years. I was very proud of his form. Really hit the line nicely on that, on the left side there. But I just wanted to talk about how also this, we could talk about Austin Matthews having a hot girl summer. And we can also just talk about how the offseason is just every hockey player is living their best life. Jonathan Toews spotted at Lollapalooza, frat god, okay? Living his best life. You got guys on lakes fishing. You got guys doing traveling and going to Italy. You've got William Nylander looking like Riff Raff with his cornrows and his big flowers shirt, okay? Eating prosciutto and doing yoga in Sweden, okay? With his best buddies, his best pals, which Alex Nylander is there. And I'm like, Alex, you better kick it into gear. Let's go. You're making the team out of camp. I'm willing it into existence. But I just wanted to talk about how Austin Matthews, whoever's taking these pictures for him, I'm just the one of him. So there's one of him that he posted 5 days ago, okay? And it's him sitting on like a giant pool couch thing, and it's from straight above, and he's sitting with his legs crossed, and he's got a tie-dye shirt on, and he's just sleeping emoji, okay? I'm very proud of these guys for, you know, really coming out of their comfort zone. I'm really proud of William Nylander for getting cornrows in Italy. And I just wanted to say, follow young players, because like Jack Roslovic is having a hot girl summer. Brendan Lemieux's having a hot girl summer. You got lots of guys having hot girl summers, and I just want to say I'm very proud and keep the content up because August is dead time in the NHL's offseason. So, shouts to you, Matt.
Nicely done.
Thank you. Those are proud
commenting
of
on who's taking those pictures. I read somewhere that his mom was the one taking all those pictures.
Emma.
Can't confirm, but I've read like in multiple different places that she was the one taking those pictures.
Dang.
Those pictures are so funny. He reminds me. I don't know if you know this.
Or maybe
term.
His sister too, because he's on vacay with his fam. Either way, love the creative vision here.
Oh, they're fantastic. I think the editing is nice. The shot, like the angle, is nice.
Like, there's no way he did that alone. Like, someone had to help him do that, right? Like,
So I don't know if you've heard this term or if anybody listening has heard this term, but there's a term called visco girl.
Oh, yes. The hydro flask.
The
puka shell necklace.
Is typically white girls. Typically. Who are like, I don't know, like high school, college age, who... It's like become the new basic. So visco is an app where you edit photos and videos and stuff to make them Instagram worthy, I guess. I've never personally used it.
Have an aesthetic feel.
Yeah, making it aesthetic. And so this term visco girls came about because there's this new breed of basic girls. Basic white girls. With their hydro flask, their iced coffee, their scrunchies, their fairy lights.
Bud.
The tie-dye shirts.
Do you see this right now?
Yeah, I know.
I can also show you my entire collection of scrunchies. I have them in a rectangle Tupperware.
Oh, my God.
That's all I wear. But also because it hurts my head to wear regular ones.
It's a thing. And honestly, Auston Matthews... And kind of William Nylander, too. Those two particularly they're living their best hot girl summer, but also visco girl summer.
Visco girl.
You know, I'm really... They're also the girls, you know, throwing up, like, a shaka all the time. Mm. You know, typically... Like, it gives me, like, California vibes.
Yes, very like West Coast.
Very West Coast.
Big baggy t-shirts, like, comfort colors, usually. Yeah.
Yep. So I think... I think Auston Matthews fits in the visco girl brand, and you know I'm not mad at it. I wish I could be a visco girl.
Well, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to plug my friend's show because my friend is an actress at the Second City. She does shows at the Second City in Chicago if you are local. But her newest show, it runs two more Fridays, and it's at the Second City at the Blackout Cabaret, but it is called Basic, and it's an entire hour show about being a basic girl, which is just, I went on Friday with my cousin, and that's actually how I know her. It's my cousin's best friend, but I've known her since I was in elementary school growing up, and so it's just so, so, so funny, and I want to go see it again if I have time, because it's just, it's very on-brand basic. There's a lot of Grey's Anatomy. There's a lot of, like, hydro flasks, and there's one where she does older white woman sayings, and it's like, oh, you know what they say about a glass of wine, like that kind of stuff. So if any of you are in Chicago and love comedy, go see my friend's show. It's called Basic with a K, B-A-S-I-K. It's her fifth show with her comedy group Ride or Die that she does. So shout out to Sarah. I don't know if any hockey fans like comedy, but I just needed to plug it because she's amazing and the show is awesome. So it's worth the $13 you will spend on a ticket. So, well, yeah, that does it for this one. This was a shorter one, thank goodness, after last week's was, I don't know, like 2 hours
like
long.
Two and a half,
so,
I think.
Close to 2 hours. I'm assuming from now until training camp starts, they will be right around the hour mark like this one is. So,
yeah.
Which, I mean, that's fine. We get the shorter ones in now, and then once the season hits, we'll have a lot to talk about.
Exactly. We're pacing ourselves.
Yes. So thank you for tuning in this week. We appreciate you. And we love you, and we thank you for coming back each and every week. We love doing this. We're going to be trying to add some intro music and all that other stuff here. So
we're going to make this the best podcast.
Woo!
We're going to make it a visco girl podcast.
No, we're not.
We're going to make it aesthetically pleasing, though.
Okay, I like that.
It's going to be great. We're going to have music. It's going to be... It's all right. I mean, it's already really organized because Shay's amazing and has this great Google Doc for us every week. But it, the music is, I feel like it's going to really...
It's going to take it to a whole new level.
It's going to take it to a new level, and it's really going to tie everything together, and it's just going to be the best.
Wow.
Not that,
that
we already aren't.
Nice of you.
It's not like we aren't already the best, but it's going to make us like the
even
best
better.
Of the best, you know?
I get you. I'm catching your
picking
flow
up what
here.
I'm putting down.
Absolutely. So, all right, we will see you guys next week. Until then, have a good week. Have a good rest of your August. If you're, I don't know, maybe you're like, this is the last episode I'm listening to them. Don't do that. I don't know where I'm going with this. We love you guys. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye guys.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at weeks 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.